at the end of the day, everybody can offer the same marketing package and the same videographer fees and the same online fees and the same exposure on Facebook and the portals and everything. And if there are six of you in a vendor presentation or three of you in a vendor presentation, more often than not, your personality is going to win. So don't let what's going on chip away at that personality. It is unique to you. It's what's going to get you through, and it's what's going to help you have a better 21. I think we all are on track for one. We're deserved one. And I hope everybody listening has one.
You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent for Real Estate Industry Sales Professionals, Property Managers and Leaders. With thanks to our partner, Connect Now, Elevate brings you the best tools, thinking and strategies to elevate your results. To download your written action guide from this podcast, containing extra tips, links and shortcuts, visit EliteAgentElevate.com. And for more information about how Connect Now can make moving easier on your clients, visit connectnow.com.au. Here is your host, Samantha McLean.
Welcome to another episode of the Elevate podcast. Today we have a special guest in the studio. He's one of Elite Agent's favourite industry influencers. He's got over 20 years worth of real estate experience, but you wouldn't know it from his modesty, charm and rugged good looks. And in case you're wondering, yes, he did write this intro for me.
I'm busted.
So we're very excited to be joined once again on the Elevate podcast by none other than auctioneer extraordinaire Stu Benson.
And I did. I wrote all of that song. So I'm guilty. Can write an intro.
How did I go?
Pretty good. Good emphasis on the important parts.
Yeah, excellent. On the rugged good looks.
On the rugged good looks, yes. Yep, and yep. The modesty.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So this has been a bit of a crazy year, and you and I have kind of caught up, you know, haphazardly during the year. But Tell me, 2020, what's it been like?
Wow. I assume that this is a PG-13 sort of a podcast, so we'll...
You can say shit show if you want to.
It has been an absolute shit show. It's just, you think there's some sort of sensibility and you think things are okay and then they're not, and then you think you're back on track and then you aren't, and then you could be like me where you kind of get a bit of momentum and then you wake up on Sunday morning and your vehicle has been stolen from your driveway. So, on many different levels, I can say, being up here in Sydney, thankful that I'm not in Victoria. And I say that with all due respect to all of my wonderful Victorian friends who are, you know, clearly having it a lot rougher than anybody else at the moment. But wow, talk about a year to forget.
So I know about your car. I read about your car on social media. Yeah. And I know that you have a problem with the M2 and getting here. So how did you get here today?
Yeah, so again, the car wanted to turn around when I got onto the entrance of the M2. It does not like traveling city bound anymore after 15 years of doing so.
Are we the reason?
No, you're absolutely not. It's not past employers either. It's just the grind and the gridlock. Although at the moment, given that most people are working from home and the whole dichotomy of how we're now transacting and doing business, it was a really quick run, which has meant that I've had to put more money into the meter. So I'm so 2020, you've done it again.
Yeah, I was just thinking that the car might have wanted to get stolen so that it didn't have to come up the M2.
No, the long story short is the family van. So I've got four children and the family van was the one that got stolen. So look, my little Merc that I zip around in on auction day is strategically a really small car so that I can just fit in wherever I can on auction day, run up to the driveway and start proclaiming the terms and conditions of auction sale and get these things sold and off to the next ones. If a thief wanted that to steal, they would probably maybe get a laptop out of JB Hi-Fi and that's about it. Whereas they've gone for the people mover. So they've gone and taken the big 8-seater. And the police think that it was strategic. They wanted to fold down all the seats, mosey on up to somebody's house in the middle of the day, and they can clear it out. Televisions, laptops, computers, the lot.
That's so awful.
Yeah. So, look, at least it's still property related in a way.
Yeah. There's always a silver lining, right?
Of course, yeah. And we'll re-stimulate the economy. Stolen goods have to be replaced. So I'm doing my part.
That's it. JobKeeper. That's where it's going. But on a serious note, I suppose there's been lots of pivots in the auction world this year.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah. Pivot. Pivot's just one of those drinking words,
yes,
right?
Yes, it is. Yep.
Now?
Sure. Yep, done.
Okay. So what do you think is here to stay? And what do you think will kind of go back to the way it was?
Well, it doesn't matter which coast you were on, you kind of got thrown into the deep end with your adaptation of technology, not just from an auctioneer's point of view, but agents. We've streamed before and there have been streaming services for a couple of years and even dabbling in Facebook Live to bring audiences to the front yards of auctions. It was a nice to have, And then it became an absolute necessity if you wanted to continue to transact fire auctions. So we had to get good at it quickly. And we had some, I guess, some really great leadership, if I'm going to be completely honest. Damien Cooley and his team took a leadership position with the Auction Now platform and did webinars and webcasts and podcasts. And it really did kind of upspeed and upskill everybody. There were auctions that were booked. There were properties that needed to be sold. There were settlements that needed to be aligned to. And it just, we couldn't stop. As much as we wanted to shrug our shoulders and just wallow in what was going on, because it was tough. Our industry was singled out by Scott Morrison in his initial press conference that auction houses and auctions, as they were known, were to stop. So we were very specifically under the microscope. I think all in all, we adapted very quickly and it became a way in which we were able to transact. And so things kept selling in a different way. Now we sort of move forward. And when the restrictions did change, I wouldn't say hot potato, but most agents dropped the platform because we just wanted to go back to what we knew. And I don't think it was just anything anti-streaming auctions. It was just grabbing at some sense of normality. And normal for us is Saturdays with crowds, with neighbors, with emotion, with these tangible X factors that we lost. We could still transact via the bidding platforms, but it wasn't the same. So I think our flight away from the technology isn't so much a slight on the technology itself. It's simply an industry who just wanted a bit of normality back, and auctions and open homes being allowed to happen again gave us that, and we grabbed it with both hands and we don't want to let it go. And seeing what Victoria is going through, from what I've seen, by and large, we've been doing everything that we can. We've got the COVID safe marshals. We're spraying everybody's hands with hygiene and cleaning and all that sort of stuff and maintaining social distancing. So I think for the most part, as an industry, we don't want to be responsible for shutting other industries down like pubs and clubs and gyms, but we don't want to shut our own down either. So it's been really rapid learning environment. And I think moving forward, we'll take some lessons out of what happened and adapt them into 2021. But we've got to get there first.
I want to ask you a tip actually for agents who might be uncomfortable on camera, because I was watching what happened back then. I mean, it sort of seems like it was so long ago and yet so recent.
Yeah,
in some
it really
ways
does.
It's just, you know, weird year.
Yep.
But I remember thinking, you talked about the emotion then and being amongst crowds of people, and it's a performance, you know, you actually feed off the crowd. It can be harder. I mean, here we are sitting with like three cameras in the room.
I hadn't noticed. Yep.
How do you get yourself into that same energy, or try to,
yep,
when you know it's a performance for one that might be seen by many?
Yeah, it's interesting. It's almost like you're trying to energize an eBay auction, because you've got people sitting in the comfort of their homes behind a monitor. They can click and enter into their bidding. They don't even have to be on the phone to the real estate agent. So you really lose that contact with them. And it's one-way communication as well. So unless they actually type a bid that pops up on the screen, you could be talking to 100 people, you could be talking to nobody, and you don't know. And are you resonating? Are you getting through? Is the urgency there? So we quickly found out that counting to 1, 2, 3, so your first, second, and third call, was a real trigger for them to place that bid. Otherwise, they felt like they had all the time in the world. And without seeing somebody 2 foot away from them grabbing at their paddle, or the young couple talking to the father-in-law to see if they could maybe borrow some, a little bit more money, or an agent being able to literally go on over to them and get in their ear and to elicit that bid, it was a bit of a stalemate, to be perfectly honest. So we kind of became newsreaders to a degree. And we kind of had to be, I guess, as funny and as jovial and as quick-witted, but with no two-way communication about it. A lot of the time, what we do is reactive to our environment. So we'll talk about the dog barking or the helicopter flying over or the lawn across the road and great timing, sir, and things like that, all gone. It was just a very, when I said stale, it's probably not the appropriate word, but it was very stringent in what we could do. So yeah, it really turned us into like a charismatic sort of a newsreader.
Yeah, I can see that would suit you too, by the way.
I was a lot more comfortable than I know a lot of other auctioneers had been. My formal training, I guess, before and during being an auctioneer at my days at domain.com.au, you know, they put us through training with regards to speaking down the barrel of a camera and doing radio and doing all those sorts of things that I wanted to add to, I guess, my media capabilities as well. So I was quite fortunate. It wasn't really too tough for me. And I know a couple of other auctioneers who've had that experience. They were fine. But there were others who were like deer in a headlight. But to their credit, we all just, again, we rolled up the sleeves and, you know, that keep calm, carry on mantra. We had to do it and we got better at it.
Yeah. So good tip for other auctioneers and agents out there is get your media training done. You never know when you might need it. Corona 3 could be around the corner.
Well, it could be. And if this technology does become adapted and people, you know, we still are having people, even now we're in, at the moment as we're recording, it's the end of September, and we still do have people who are preferring to bid from home. Mm-hmm. It's not as common. I might get maybe one a weekend out of 10 or 11 auctions. So it's one person out of a potential 100 or so bidders. But maybe due to health reasons, maybe due to not want to expose themselves to crowds, their preference is. So it's not going to replace auctions. And certainly in Sydney, and I think you'll find in Melbourne, where Auction Heartland exists, I think the branding and the, I guess, the perception of the market and what's going on, that barometer that we afford people that are on the street, I don't think we're going to stop doing them. But yeah, really good to get your chops in and go and practice yourself in front of a camera. And yeah, it's not going anywhere, and get yourself better at it and upskill and yeah.
Yeah, get comfortable. We're going to talk about some of the videos you've made this year.
Oh, okay.
But I want to know, first of all, what's happening on the ground at the moment, because lockdown happened.
Yep.
And then volumes dropped significantly.
Yep.
But as soon as they opened us back up again, particularly in New South Wales, volumes have been up and buyers have been back. What are you actually seeing on the ground in your area?
It seems like it pent up a lot of, I guess, buyer activity. People put a lot of plans on hold. Some people were forced to because jobs were put on hold and they were put on JobKeeper or they were put on shift share and all these sorts of things. So a lot of people just had, they're up in the air. When we came out of the initial restrictions, a lot of people went into them with pre-approvals, and pre-approvals lapse over a certain amount of time, depending on your banking institution. And so there was a bit of a flight to the property market of people trying to capitalize and buy before they had to go through the whole, I guess, jumping through hoops of reapproval. Maybe their job scenario had changed. Maybe their sector was being looked at differently. Initially, there was an upswing. And I think the byproduct of that upswing was confidence. The market is just, it always has been and always will be a confidence game. If the media is talking down the property market and they're saying that interest rates are going to rise and the unemployment rate is going to rise, that filters through to consumer confidence. And what we did have off the back of coronavirus, which I guess in terms of people's mental health and people's well-being, we had the public conscience and psyche was really uncertain as how the world was going to look after this, let alone Sydney, Melbourne, Brisbane, etc. And then we saw this flight of people not wanting to have their pre-approvals lapse. And so the market actually went pretty bloody good for the first month or so. And that confidence seeped through, and people were seeing pretty decent clearance rates and pretty decent prices on their house. And when they did go to an auction, there was like six underbidders who missed out. And so there was a supply-demand issue that we're still seeing today. And so I think the best thing to come out of the lockdown was the pent-up energy. And that energy, we're September now, we're 6 months after the initial lockdown, and we're still going.
Yeah. Well, I think this weekend, and so as not to date this, but I guess a couple of weeks' time, people will know that we were talking.
Yes.
What is the date today? The 24th of September.
There we go. Yep.
There we go. Last weekend was the best clearance rate Sydney's seen all year. Do you see that continuing through spring?
Look, I really do. At my auctions last Saturday, again, to not date us too much, but to give context to what we're talking about, I had 15 auctions booked across Saturday and Sunday, which is a great weekend for me in spring. We sold 12 out of the 15. The three that didn't sell, two of them are now under contract 3 days later. So I guess the process worked. Some would say trust the process, and and the process worked. So effectively by the end of this week, if those go through and cool off, I'll be 14 of 15, which is incredible. But specifically to tail back to your point, I would estimate that between the 15 of them, there are probably 50 buyers cash ready to go in a price brackets between 1 million to 1.9, if I'm going off the sales that I had. There would have to be at least 50. I'd have to double check my numbers. 50 cash, checks in hand, ready to go, now looking for plan B. And so agents are telling potential sellers, get on the market.
Yeah.
Because we've got buyers, and because we've got confidence, and because your asset is actually highly sought after at the moment. Quite frankly, I could probably list it and sell it tomorrow, but let's run it to auction and see what competition yields. So it's actually performing really good, which is surprising.
Yeah. So people are still out there trusting the process, which is good. Is that trademarked yet? Trust the process?
It is. And so that mere mention, $2.50. Thank you.
Yeah. Excellent. So there's a lot of talk at the moment about off market as well.
Mm-hmm.
Or I remember a video you made about before market.
That's my portal, before market. We'll sell it before anybody sees it. We've got a specific algorithm, and yeah, so we basically sell it to them before they've even thought about what they want. And in 6 weeks' time, they're moving into a house that we decided that they needed for the price that we wanted. So don't let competition dictate the sale price. Sell it really secretively and you'll never know.
Yeah. I mean, look, you just mentioned that you cleared quite a few on the weekend and you're still really busy because you're one of our best auctioneers.
I'm not just stroking
your ego, but...
still reading the script. I like
still,
it.
Yep. Still reading the script, but... Despite all the crap this year, has there been a particularly memorable property that you've sold under the hammer?
The ones that I've been getting the really good results on are the ones that, not all auctioneers do this, a lot of us do, but we'll go into a mid-campaign meeting and we'll give them an update and we'll kind of come in from a third party. Most of us are independent, so there are obviously some auctioneers who represent groups only. So there are auctioneers who only represent McGrath. There are auctioneers who only represent Ray White. I'm one of a handful of auctioneers who represent multiple brands. So it gives me, I guess, a broad spectrum of knowledge. And when I sit in a lounge room with a vendor, I'm able to anecdotally tell them what I'm seeing within their price bracket. And agency and the group and the brand doesn't really come into play. It's just what I'm seeing at the coalface. And so my ability to, I guess, influence in that mid-campaign, and that can really change the trajectory of where we're going. Are we on track? Does the agent need a hand to get the right price or the right price guiding? And then I'll tail back in probably two or three nights beforehand, before the actual auction date, and I'll help set the reserve. And so to answer your question, the most memorable ones are the ones that I've really had a hand in guiding the vendor, setting the reserve, which effectively helps the agent. And then when the hammer drops, I haven't just been some ham who turns up on auction day and drops the gavel, gets into the car and goes to the next one. And, you know, I'm not going to name auctioneers and call out anybody, but there are people who do that. And look, they're time conscious. They have to get in the car. They have to sell it. They probably don't wait as long as I do and a handful of other auctioneers do in terms of double checking and triple checking, quadruple checking that the underbidder is out. I afford myself that time. And so when the hammer does drop, that personal satisfaction that, you know, I'm just not that schlep who turned up on auction day and dropped the hammer and then jumps on Facebook and makes a big song and dance about it because I was just fortunate enough to represent an agent's hard work. I was actually in the trenches. And I think that a lot of that's got to do with my real estate background and my social media knowledge and then my coalface, I guess, experience. It all sort of culminates into a voice of reason and a voice of expertise. I had one, though, probably last weekend was probably one of the best because it was for family. Family is always this intrinsic, you can't put a quotient on it, but there is pressure.
Yep, absolutely.
There is pressure. And I really pride myself on being cool, calm, collected. And I keep my energy levels up, surprisingly, for somebody who doesn't drink Red Bull and V and all this sorts of stuff. Whoever books me at 10 o'clock deserves the same energy as the same person who books me at 5:30 and they're the 10th auction of the day. So I have to carry that energy through for the entire day to the point where I get home at 7 o'clock at night and there's no talking. There's no words. I've used all my words. Kids go away. I'll talk to you Sunday. Dad has used his words.
I know exactly how that feels. No more questions.
No more questions. Go away. Yeah. You've got a mother. Help and go that way. And I'll talk to you on Sunday. Have a good night. But yeah, so I did. I had a family sale. And not only that, I asked them not to come, but I had pretty much my entire family in the backyard. So I'm talking in-laws, step-in-laws, cousins, friends of friends, the college roommate. It was insane. And I'm like, what are you guys doing here? And, you know, I've got the auntie who goes, oh, I'll register the bid and I'll push the bidding up. I'm like, shut up. No, how about you don't do something illegal at this auction and I'll be just fine. Thank you. But we got well over their dream price because I was able to, I guess, guide them throughout the campaign. I said, look, if you want the dream price, your reserve's got to be where the market is. That's how you get the dream price. Don't dangle the carrot too far away. All the analogies, but they listened to me. They just said, Stu, this is what you do 24/7. This is your bread and butter. If I don't listen to you, it's like telling my neurosurgeon that I know better. You know, it's, you know, you're the expert. And so they trusted me. They trusted the process. They trusted the agent. And we absolutely smashed it out of the park to the point where I had other agents calling me on my way to the next one, asking me what it sold for. And when I told them what it sold for, they were skeptical as if I was telling the truth. It was that good a result. So that was that was probably a highlight of 2020. There should be more highlights of 2020, but there aren't.
Well, we're all making history right now. We're all going to look back on this year and think, what were you doing in 2020? Well, I sold that family home and they all showed up. And that's the story you will tell your kids later.
It will be. Yeah, it's one of those weird years, isn't it? I mean, you know, it's just crazy. And then you've got these exterior sort of outside influences at the moment where you jump on social media and Australians seem to be really invested in what's going on over in America at the moment, be it Black Lives Matter, be it the presidential race at the moment, and there are camps and teams are split. And it's like, guys, we've got enough going on domestically. why are we concerned about this? There's so much going on, and there are so many, I guess, bookmarks that we're going to look back at 2020, and just what a ride. Like, it's just the term unprecedented is being used at an unprecedented level. It's every title, it's every headline, it's in every thing that you read online. But it's fair, it's valid. There's never been a time like this in my lifetime, at least.
I know. It's funny you've mentioned that, because we are going to, last time we were together in the studio, we played a game of word association.
Yes.
And I thought we'd end, now you can start thinking about that one.
Okay. But, so we're going to go there.
We're going to go there again, but okay. I've still got some more questions to ask you first before we go there. I love a good video, and I love you on social media. Like, you know, you've got some really cool stuff going on. And even though it was for the guys across the road who might be reading our minds right now, who knows? The 5G could be in this building.
Would not be spoiled. Well, that's why we're wearing foil hats, but we'll continue.
Where did the idea for the Vote for Stu video come from?
The most recent iteration of the Vote for Stu. I like to have a bit of fun with it. The reality is that going to sway the judges? I don't know. But it's a good piece of content to put out into the digital space. It gives me legs. It gets people talking. It gets people liking. It gets people sharing. And that's my bang for buck. Whether or not that influences anybody into whether or not... I mean, it doesn't highlight my auctioneering ability. Like, whatsoever. There is a small highlight clip component to it. And the brief is submit a highlight clip.
Yeah.
And I've seen some of the highlight clips that the guys do. It's their grandiose introduction, you know, talking about the house and when it was built and, you know, what it would be like if you were a settler back in 1788 and you stumbled across its gorgeous veneer and all this sort of stuff. And they wax lyrical about the street and the sunset and all this sort of stuff. And I'm like, dude, just call the auction and get it underway. And
that doesn't tell me whether they can add up.
No, right. Yeah. Or do they have any charm or any charisma, or can they read the crowd, or do they generate any semblance of empathy? And, you know, does that empathy then turn into extra bids at the end that you might not have gotten had you discounted somebody at the start of an auction because of their smaller increments? I mean, what we do is, it's really immeasurable. These awards are great. Don't get me wrong. That they go on your auto signature and you get to tell everybody that I was the 2018 Australian Auctioneer of the Year, and you can't take it away from me. I was.
Can I just give you something that says that next time?
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll back you up.
It's on a big sticker on the back of my car.
Elite Agent Auctioneer of the Year.
Yeah, I am. So there you go. Official 2020 Elite Agent Auctioneer of the Year. There we go.
Well, here you are.
Well, yeah.
You're here.
I'm the auctioneer of today.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But look, in saying that, I don't take it too seriously. It's about the social media presence, about the awareness. Look, the underlying message is to trust the process. And I've been saying that for years and years and years, and I will continue.
Trust the process.
There we go. Trust the process.
Vote for Stu.
So it's still funny. I still get people doing that at the shopping center. I'll be walking down like aisle three at Coles. And the funny thing is, all the kids know that, you know, Charlie's dad or Indiana's dad or Henry's dad is the guy from the video, because the parents obviously have shown the kids the video. And so the kids get it as well. Or I'll go to a school carnival. I'll go to the swimming carnival to pick up the kids. And, you know, there's this little, it's like I'm Gulliver's Travels. I'll walk in and all these tiny little people will come up to me going, Vote for Stu. It's kind
so
of cute.
Cool.
But the fact that people are talking about it, it worked, right? It works. And that's the whole point of, you know, I guess people's attempts to go viral and people's attempts to catch, you know, we see people like Dan Lee up a Plum property. It's the same sort of thing up in Brisbane. It's just getting attention, having people talk about you. And if they're talking about you, they're probably not talking about somebody else. And that's kind of the name of the game.
Yeah. So you might not have won the award, but you won social media.
Spot on.
Yeah.
Spot on. I didn't win the award, but didn't I?
Who cares?
Didn't I?
I think you did.
You could ask most people like who won in 2019 and they'll go, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I remember that video.
Yeah.
I'll take that.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to know how many takes it took you right at the end with that animated bird.
Oh, one.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Really?
So for those who haven't watched it, thanks a lot.
We'll link you up with the video.
We'll link you to that. So I just had this weird idea. There's this great scene in the movie 500 Days of Summer with Zooey Deschanel and Joseph Gordon-Levitt. And yeah, he goes into this sort of almost like a dream-like stupor. He's just so happy and fountains start playing and bands start playing and the animated bluebird just flies down, flutters down, lands on his shoulder, skips across to his finger. He gives it a bit of a pat and then it flies off. And again, it had nothing to do with Auctioneer of the Year. It had nothing to do with the video. It had nothing to do with the narrative. I just saw it and thought it looked cool and I wanted to copy it. So I sent it through Fiverr.com to a guy who stripped the bluebird out of the footage of the film. and gave it back to me on green screen. And then we walked down the middle of the street with my videographer, Lee Phillipson from Shout Out Media. And he said, let's try it. And so he watched it on his phone, and then I watched it on my phone. And this was only about 2 hours after it had been delivered to me on the green screen. We were running at a deadline. I leave this to the last minute every single year. And people say to me, wow, how long did that take you to film? I'm like, dude, we did it in like 6 hours, and then Lee edited it in four. We rush it, but we work good under pressure. We both work really good under pressure. He might disagree with that, but I put him under pressure and he has to work.
It's a productivity tip here. Give yourself a really tight deadline and you'll get more done.
And you will get it done. So we did. So we literally did it once, and Lee just looked up from his monitor and said, I think that's it. I said, no. I said, look, let me do it again. And I did it again. I couldn't do it. And then I did it again and I couldn't do it. So we ended up using the first take, and it was absolutely bang on. So if you haven't watched it, check it out. I know you probably won't believe me. I'll get Lee to jump into the comments and validate it. It was the first go. Uncanny. I'll never be able to do it again.
It was absolutely brilliant. And congratulations to your videographer as well, because it was just so well edited and so well put together.
He did well. Look, next time I don't want to let the cat out of the bag, but next time I think we will go whole hog, flash mob, orchestrated dancing, singing, choreography. I want to go all in.
Yeah.
And again, I don't care if I win the award.
I want that too.
Yeah, I'll do it. I'll submit it for the Elite Agent 2021 awards that we're going to launch. We're nodding furiously. But yeah, look, really, the award is nice, but I just like having fun with the video. So yeah, next year, and hopefully next year is a year to celebrate. Let's hope that we all get out of the woods and we've got reason to celebrate. And if we do, I'll make sure my video is one of your highlights.
That would be amazing. Now, speaking of video and community and stuff like that, you've been doing a bit of video work. I read somewhere, I think you're commentating on the local basketball team.
Yeah. So I've been trying to, that was really weird. I've been trying to really ramp up my community engagement, not for auction's sake. The byproduct is that more people know me. And of course, I think anybody who has the time should be giving back to their community. If you're an agent, if you're a property manager, if you have the time. I've got four kids, they've got extracurricular activities, they've got sport, they've got school. It's a juggle, but giving back to your community is important. It's all about, I don't want to sound altruistic, it's legacy. It's giving back. I go back to my old high school and I mentor year 11 and year 12 students. I don't have to do it, but I want to do it. I'm not coming at it from a doctorate or a philosopher or I'm just a guy, but I've navigated my way to 40. I'll be 40 next week. And I think I've done all right. There have been lessons along the way and I want to give back. So I do that. I've got my Dads of the Hills Facebook group where we're encroaching on 6,000 dads, and we have fundraisers for men's mental health and mental health initiatives. We give back to Black Dog, to Beyond Blue, to Lifeline. We've given, tens of thousands of dollars to Westmead Children's Hospital because we've all at some stage been down in that waiting room for a kid who's been sick. And so giving back's a big part of it. And the guys at the Hills Basketball Association, they know me. I'm pretty loud on the court. As you could imagine, being an auctioneer and being someone who's passionate about anything I do, they know me. But I've been playing there since I started playing basketball. So I've been playing there for 30 years. And somebody just like said amongst the admin staff, why on earth is Stu not commentating the basketball? And they asked me, and I said yes before they'd gotten halfway through the sentence. And it was awesome. It was really interesting. We didn't have a crowd to go off, very similar to the online auctions that we did earlier in the year. It was the teams playing on the court. I was sitting up in the bleachers, and that was it. And normally in basketball, and in most sports, you have what's called in basketball the sixth man. And the sixth man is the crowd, because they become a factor. If you're down five and there's 3 minutes to go, the crowd can rally and build momentum. And it was a really weird environment. We didn't have the crowd. And so without that to feed off as a commentator, and all I could really hear was the bounce of the basketball, the occasional expletive or foul on the court, keeping in mind that I was quite some distance away from them all, I had to inject personality, because the people who were watching on Facebook were just watching almost like a game on mute. There was basketball, but there was no crowd, there was no energy, there was anything. It was just two teams playing.
It was sort of like, remember when the NRL came back initially after lockdown and they had that canned crowd noise?
Yep,
it was
exactly
weird.
And that consciously, that is exactly what was in my head, thinking, oh, I remember what it was like to watch that. That was awkward.
Yeah.
So I've got to remember whoever's. And there were a couple like 1,000 people who were watching this stream. I really didn't realize how many people. There were people messaging me from random people from Victoria going, hey, dude, I just tuned into the Hills Hornets broadcast. You don't know me from a bar of soap, but you did a really good job. I hope you pick it up next year. And that was really flattering. But yeah, I was really conscious of injecting some personality and some banter and some fun into it because, again, as you said, I was watching those NRL games going, oh, this is awkward.
Weird, yeah.
This is weird.
Yeah.
It's our new normal, but it was weird.
Another thing about 2020, which has sucked really, is we were supposed to get 2 seasons of Survivor this year.
Oh, man, I know.
We only got 1.
I know.
You know, like, I mean, next year, obviously, we're going to do a commentary, right?
Yep, absolutely. For those who don't know, like, it is just, if you don't watch Survivor, look, I'm not judging you, but there's something wrong with you. But I'm not judging you, but know that there is. But you've got to get on it. I'm not sure if you saw in my video, I had a flash of Dave from Survivor, Golden God.
You did, yeah.
So I did splice that in, and then I messaged him on Instagram, and he wrote back saying, "You're what a legend! Thanks so much. Thanks for the support." And I have a feeling it's not the last time we've seen the Golden God. I think we'll see Dave on another.
Yeah, I heard rumours about America, actually.
I heard rumours about America as well, so.
Okay, so sorry, just rewinding a bit.
Yeah.
You said 40 next week and you don't look a day over fabulous.
Stop it.
I also read somewhere middle. I feel like I'm your biggest social media stalker right about now. I swear I'm still happily married and it's all good.
It's so funny. I get people coming up to me, random people going, "Oh my God, your littlest son Henry, he's so cute." And I'm like, "Okay, check out lady." Like, what? Like, it's weird. So flattered. But I when you put yourself out there like I do, like everything I do is public. There is no privacy settings on anything I do, and probably to my detriment, no privacy settings on what comes out of my mouth either. So
yeah.
Don't feel weird. I put it out there.
Well, this is it. It's like, hey, Stu's coming in for a podcast. What am I going to ask him? It's Facebook Stu Benson.
What's and all. Yeah.
Yep, absolutely. So 5K day.
Yes.
What's that about?
Okay, midlife crisis. Some people buy cars and take up golf or hobbies and things. My daughter just randomly asked me just after her birthday, my birthday's next on the schedule. So we all know whose birthday is next in the year. And my daughter turned 13. That was quite a, you know, we've got a teenager in the house and quite a momentous birthday. And she said, well, you're next, you're 40. And she was like, how long is that? And we jumped into the calendar and it was 102 days. And she's like, oh, that's close. You should do something. We had friends over that night. And so she planted the seed that we should do something for my 40th, and she just meant have a party. But I started thinking I should do something. I've got 102 days to my birthday. So we had friends over, it was her birthday, and then two of us, my daughter's uncle, we jumped on the scales. Now, I don't know why he started it. I think he's a couple of inches shorter than me, and he was trying to say that we were the same weight. He's a stocky, really muscular sort of a guy. And I'm like, no, I'd be way heavier than you. I'm taller and I'm heavier set. Even though you're musclier, you're leaner. And he goes, no, I reckon we're... So anyway, long story short, we jumped on the scales and I was mortified. I was the heaviest I'd ever been, which isn't heavy. I carry it well, and I say that and I sound like a braggart and I sound like an absolute dickhead. But I do. I've always been able to carry it well in terms of just my body shape, my skeleton and whatever. I'm kind of lucky. But I was horrified. And I didn't let on that I was horrified. But everybody went home and I sat in the lounge room and, you know, I was probably drinking a can of Coke and eating a packet of chips. So, probably not very self-aware, sitting there, you know, crying into my Doritos going, why am I so heavy? So I just decided I'm going to do something about it. And I thought probably the easiest way to hold myself accountable was social media. So I spent the next day. So the next day was 101 days. I went out to Rebel Sport. I got myself fitted for a pair of shoes. I didn't want to just buy anything off the rack. I got fitted for a pair of shoes. If I was going to do this, I was going to do it seriously. I got a waterproof wind cheater and some lightweight, breathable, you know, Nike dry fit technology stuff and some AirPods. Went up to Apple, bought some AirPods, and I was all in. Day 100, I got up, 5:30, out the door, 5:45, jumped on Facebook Live. Shortly thereafter, jumped on Instagram Live and just put it out into the universe. This is what I'm going to do. And that accountability was probably the best thing I could have done. I got a groundswell of support saying, good on you. And then I've had people ever since checking in. So today was day 93. I'll be 40 next Thursday. And I haven't missed a day. And the accountability and the support has been really, really awesome. And just random people. in my role and what I do and I guess my exposure and my public nature of it, I've got friends from Broome to Bronte and everything in between. And I've had people say that you've inspired me to do it. I got a message this morning from a buyer's agent in Sydney. She's doing it. I've got friends up in Queensland that are doing it. And I was kind of the catalyst, which is really humbling. Like it's crazy. Like little me doing a live stream. And at that time of the day, the funny thing is at that time of the day, all the tradies are out and they're all getting their morning coffee. And I just look like such a wanker. I'm in brand new shoes that had never been worn before. I'm in a brand new, like, you know, like a reflective, like I just look like some cliche, I look like I'd never done it before. Like I looked like I was wearing all brand new stuff. Like I probably had tags hanging off and I've got tradies like flying past me on the main road and I'm there with my, hey guys, so it's Stu Benson. I'm going live and I'm having a fitness journey. And these guys like, you know, are going, yeah, whatever, mate. Like I've been up for 3 hours and I've done an hour's worth of work. Get back into bed. Preppy. So, but it was good. So I'm 5Ks a day. The only thing I'm drinking is water and coffee. So no alcohol, no soft drink, no snacking. I've got a sweet tooth. If I walk past a bakery, I've cleared them out of custard tarts, vanilla slices, and anything else I can get my hands on. So I've been really good with that. No McDonald's, no KFC, and then just exercise. So I'm 11 kilos down and I'm going to keep going. It's a habit now. So, you know, all the
James Clear.
Yeah, you know, they'll say about forming habits and how long it takes. The first 2 weeks was brutal getting up that early. I'm just not a morning person. I'm not a morning person, but I'm not a 5:30 in the morning person. And I am now. I don't know who the hell this guy is across from you in the booth. It's not who I was 93 days ago, but I'm glad.
Yeah, amazing. I think you've inspired me because I've got the other F birthday coming up next year.
Oh, the birthday which shall not be mentioned.
Yeah, the other F birthday.
Mm-hmm. So
that's what we're going to say about that. All right. I think it's time. I think we should play this word association game again because you were so good at it last time. And, you know, since you, I've there's been no one else.
I think last time I was trying to be a little bit reserved, and we spoke about this before the podcast. I think last time I was trying to be a bit measured, but now that you've got me and I've done this before, give me what you got.
So you're telling me you were holding back last time?
A little bit, We'll see. Although I say that, but I don't know. You've got, so for those who are listening, Sam's right across from me. She's got the sheet. I have no idea. None of these interviews are ever scripted. No interviewee is ever given the dialogue, so this could be interesting.
I know, right? Here we go. You ready?
As I'll ever be.
Australia's sexiest agents.
Where's my nomination?
Tin foil.
5G.
Vaccine.
Pete Evans.
2020.
I'll continue the trend. F words. Big F words.
2021.
I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful because I want to be, because we need it. And again, I keep harkening back to this, and I know I'm going off track a little bit. Victorians, if you're listening, God almighty, like let's just hope some sensibility and just common sense prevails. We are thinking of you. It's kitsch, it's cliche, but God, I hope it gets back on track for you.
I reckon it's going to be really busy, actually.
I really hope so. Yeah, I genuinely think that as well.
Yeah, yeah. All right, speaking of Victorians, the letter Z.
Zox, Zold stickers, Zoctioneers, the Elite Z-Agent Podzast.
All right, pivot.
Unprecedented, bespoke AI. I don't know. It's buzz.
Game changer.
Oh, me.
7G.
AG. It's coming. If there's 7G, there's 8G.
Breaking news.
Ooh, interest rates.
Prince Harry.
Prince Harry. You know people call me that.
I can see the resemblance.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. People call me that.
Yeah. Brother.
Yeah, clearly, pasty white, auburn hair, and just an entitled bastard. Yep.
Fight Club.
Never heard of it.
Scott Morrison.
Hillsong. I'm from the Hills District, and so we're the Bible Belt, and ScoMo has a known association. So
likes the song.
He likes the song of the Hills.
The Bachelor.
Ooh, he was better on Survivor.
The Future of Real Estate.
Whatever Elite Agent magazine is cooking up.
Artificial intelligence.
Still not convinced needs work. That's controversial. Again, I've got so many great friends who work in the AI space and it's awesome, but some of the bot messages I get, dude, really use a better company. There's probably a lot of work out there for the good ones.
Vote for Stu.
Trust the process.
It's going to be my next one.
Okay, you can give me that.
Dream job.
Ooh, oh, so lame. Auctioneer.
Love.
Oh, my family.
Villain.
Ooh. I think secretly me. I like, behind the scenes, I like playing the villain.
Hero.
Totally off topic. LeBron James. The Lakers, we're 6 games away from a championship. I'll go LeBron James because he's doing it for Kobe. That's my guy.
Absolutely. Well, that's another one 2020 took from us. Yeah.
Honestly, that started it for me. That was just, anybody who knows me, I'm a Laker fan and have been for life, and Kobe was my guy. We effectively grew up together. He was a year and a half older than me, and I followed his career from high school through to professional sports. Lo and behold, he wrangles himself a trade to my favorite team. Here I am thinking I'm going to have to root for this kid who goes for another team, and somehow on draft day, he gets himself traded to my team. So it was written in the stars. I was over in the UK visiting friends and family in January. I got off the plane, jet lagged, I fell asleep, I woke up, and I had a good friend of mine calling me. And it was the first thing I heard. That was basically the first domino of an absolute shit show of dominoes falling over in 2020. That really affected me. Like, honestly, that affected me probably more than I've even admitted to this day. We're September, where, you know, we're 9 months away from it. And it's weird, these sporting heroes, you put them up on a pedestal. I flew over there a couple of years ago and watched him. And I don't think I realized how much of an impact this kid had had on my life until he was gone. And the fact that his 13-year-old daughter was, on the helicopter as well. So, yeah, I don't want to drag the podcast down. Well done, Benson. But anyway.
All right, let's go back to politics then.
Okay.
Politics.
Oh, geez, I know this is meant to be rapid fire, but at the moment, after hearing Leanne Pilkington and what she had to say around the memorandum with tenancies and landlords and knowing how many people that I've got in that space, a lack of collaboration at the moment. They're running their own race and there is collateral damage everywhere.
Mm. She's in here tomorrow, actually.
Oh, okay. Well, she will have a lot to say on the topic, I imagine.
I'll say hello to you. Game changer. Have we had that? Game changer. Dun, dun.
Off market. So they would have you believe.
Last one.
Mm.
Hope for the future.
Oh, goodness. That's a big one. That's a really big one because it covers a lot of stuff, Samantha McLean. I just want people getting back to what they love and being able to do what they do. You know, some people fall into real estate. Some people purposely seek out real estate. But real estate is a job of personality and being holed up in your house or being limited to text messages and emails when really being in front of people, sitting in lounge rooms, being on auction floors, and being able to use your personality as a differentiator. I've seen so many people in this industry, and whether they'll admit it or not, I know that they're psychologically being worn down. I know they're unhappy. I know that they wish that there was something they could do, but it is totally out of their power. I just want everybody to get back to what they do and remember why they loved it and try and hold on to that as well, because I can see a lot of people falling out of love with real estate or just the notion, or maybe I just need to go and get myself a soulless Monday to Friday 9-to-5 job because it pays the goddamn bills. And I get that, but don't give up the hope and the dream and the reason why you chose this profession. And it's bloody hard and it's a tough slog and it's even harder right now. But yeah, I would just hope that as many people as possible, you got to do what's right for you and your family, but stick it out because you chose this and you're good at this and you succeed at this because it's what you do. And at the end of the day, everybody can offer the same marketing package and the same videographer fees and the same online fees and the same exposure on Facebook and the portals and everything. And if there are 6 of you in a vendor presentation or 3 of you in a vendor presentation, more often than not, your personality is going to win. So don't let what's going on chip away at that personality. It is unique to you. It's what's going to get you through and it's what's going to help you have a better 2021. I think we all are on track for one. We're deserved one. And I hope everybody listening has one.
Yeah. Well, we're on track for a good Christmas.
We are.
And we're on track for a good 2021. And I think that is one of the nice things about 2020 is that we've all had the opportunity to be a little bit more human and let our humanity shine through.
Yeah. Thank God it was a leap year. We got that extra friggin' oh, that's right. We got an extra day. So
we've still got an Olympics to look forward to.
Yes, we do. We do. But yeah, look, I think the home stretch of 2020 is actually going to be quite prosperous. And as we've seen in other years where we've had boom markets, particularly probably 2017 being our last one, that momentum genuinely does carry through the Christmas period. It's almost like we're so undersupplied that we cannot wait. And we almost false start the year. And instead of waiting to February, things start hitting the market in January and we almost maybe get a week off or two and that's about it. I would love for that to happen. It actually genuinely feels like that is going to happen. And to that point, and I know I say this self-servingly because I'm an auctioneer, take things to auction or at the very least, hold on to them for 3 or 4 weeks. Get as many people through them. there are people literally missing out on properties that I think that they should have an opportunity to buy just because they're not on your database or just because they're not following you on Facebook. I think they deserve a chance at buying the house, and I think your owners deserve the chance at finding out what they believe it's worth. My auction numbers, if my auction numbers are any indication, this sort of a market, I think any property in any market is an auction property. But there are a lot of agents who don't do a lot of auctions at the moment are saying, Stu, we've got to auction it. There is that much demand. There is that little supply. Let's run it. And hopefully, again, as you said and you mentioned, the clearance rate is just the black and white easy barometer for Joe and, you know, Joe and Jeanette Smith, who live in, you know, suburb X, who know nothing about real estate, nothing about the economy. They open up the newspaper or they jump online and they see 87.5%. It's confidence building, and we need confidence, and it feels like it's there.
Yeah. So 2021 is the year of trusting the process.
Please. Take them to auction. Take all of them to auction. You don't even have to use me. I don't care if you don't use me. Take them to auction. It's the right thing to do.
Oh, no. And the right thing to do is to vote for Stu.
Also, vote for Stu. And keep an eye out. You'll see the video. You'll see the bluebird. You'll see in the links. You'll see what I did. One take. I promise you one take. You're not going to believe me. 2021 vote for Stu video. I'm going all out.
Flash mob.
I'm going all out.
Going to hold you to it.
Look, I can't let all the cats out of the bag. I can't let all. Yeah, that's one part. That's one component. It could be choose your own adventure. You could click the button and I could do something totally different. I could have some celebrity cameoing. There are a lot of things in play. Yeah, anything I can do to brighten up 2021, I'm going to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Stu Benson, as always, thank you so much.
You are more than welcome. Everybody take care. Look after yourselves and I'll be back. You can't get rid of me. You'll speak to me and hear from me soon.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Elevate, with thanks to connectnow.com.au. Don't forget to download your written action guide from this podcast containing extra tips, links and shortcuts. Visit eliteagentelevate.com.